was a hot afternoon, and my brother, my older brother, who's a retired federal law enforcement officer, came to visit. And we went out to go get some things in a grocery store, and I was parking my truck, and when I turned off the ignition, I was ready to get up, and he puts his hand and says, "No, no, don't get up yet." And he looked around, and he said, "Okay, let's go." And I said, "What is all that for?" So he gets down, and we get down, and says, "Hold on." And he says, "Mark," he said, "you always got to do a 360 when you're going into an area you don't know." And I said, "360, huh?" He said, and he says, "See that lady? She's just getting into her car. Did you notice her? How about that man getting out of his car? And see that other lady coming down right in the middle of the road in between the parking stalls? And there's a car behind her, and she doesn't even know it's behind her because she's looking at her receipt." He said, "Mark, always do a 360. It might just save your life." Now, he's talking about the physical part of his years of law enforcement. He's trained to do search and look in an area. And it's always advisable for all of us to do that. But how about our spiritual awareness, I guess we call it? Our spiritual 360, do we do that? My sermonette today, brethren, is about doing a spiritual 360. When I say 360, I mean 360 degrees. I'm sure many of you already know that. For having a spiritual 360, that means you're aware spiritually every day. You get yourself going. Points. And point number one is the obvious. Says, be aware. Be aware when you start off your morning. Do we have God in our mind? Do we pray? And I've talked to brethren throughout the years in their morning routine. And it's just not on the Sabbath. They pull out, open up the Bible, and they read a verse or two to get them going. And mood for that morning. To get them going to approach that hectic day. If you're married, do you kiss your wife goodbye? If you have children, do you kiss them goodbye? It might be the last time you do it. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed yourselves and to your teaching. Hold to that, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Point two, be ready, both physically and be ready to give an answer. Most of us, we only know that in 2 Peter. But be ready to answer, but in choose your words, the right words. Pick your words, because I know it says with fear and trembling, but choose your words. And sometimes you don't, some of the questions that are given to you or statements don't deserve an answer from you. It says, and let's go to Proverbs 25:11, brother. 25:11, and everybody's pretty much familiar with that. And it's for everybody. It says, Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold instead of silver." So if we choose our words, that means we're slow to speak, like James said. Because we're slow, like in West Texas, we choose our words. We're thinking what we're saying. We're thinking what you're saying. A word fitly, what is the right word for that answer? For the answer you're going to give that person. Because people usually are ready to respond to a negative comment. They've got something in their arsenal already. But they're not, the people in the world are not ready for a positive answer, something that will uplift them. Point in chance, I was in a traffic jam, and there was a gentleman trying to squeeze in. You know how they try to squeeze in? And I let him in, and he gave me a gesture. He You know, he showed how far he could count. And instead of, I just waved at him and smiled, hey. And he just looked at me like, he said, do I know this guy? But see, people don't know how to react that, on something like that. James 1, 19 says, know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. So if we have that gift, brethren, if we have that sound of mind, which the scriptures say, we can be able to, that's how we identify ourselves different from other people. If we're just snap, give those snap gets backs, that we don't want to do that. We want to be slow to answer. And that's part of your awareness. And number three is be ready to act in service. And then just not in the, in, like we have here, we set up something real quick. And in the feast we do too, we sign up for things that, actions that are needed in sermonettes or in the stage. We're ready to do that, but you know, let our lights shine out to the world also. Case in point, there was a grocery worker saw that a bagger, she was bagging the groceries, and she saw that the person that was in the counter they were checking out didn't have enough to pay for the groceries. It was here in Portland. And she went out and she paid for the difference for that person, an elderly lady. And she wasn't in the church, but it's that kind of act. We know what we talk about when we're saying good acts. Because it says in James again, Jesus half brother says in 1:22, it says, if we can all go there, James 1, verse 22, it says, be doers of the word. You know, we can sit and we can listen and we can talk and all that good stuff, but we have to go out there and put it into action. And not hearers only. Because by doing so, we're just deceiving ourselves. You know, we have to put it into action. There was a basketball, when I like to see that March Madness in the college basketball. And one of the commentators was an ex-pro basketball player, big, tall guy. And he was noted that he gave that, there was a man, a young man, he was in a jewelry shop, and there was a young man trying to, here to pay his engagement ring. He was going to get married, he was going to give this engagement ring to his soon-to-be wife, hopefully. And he was making a payment. And that man went and pulled out his card and went, and paid for the whole thing. And they asked him for it, and he said, well, I try not to make myself conspicuous, but the guy's 7 feet tall. So it's kind of hard to be, but he said his mom, when he was young, taught him to do a good deed every day to somebody, you know, every day. So he tried to do a good deed. It could be anything, but do a good deed every day. And that's, he's not in church, obviously, but we can do something like that. Four, be of courage, the breastplate of faith. Stand up for what we believe in, because we're going to be called out. Ephesians 6:14 tells us that, to have a breastplate of faith. And point five, be at ease. We know the truth. We know what happens to them, and we win. Hebrews 13:15 says, when there is no fear, there is more control. So if everybody around you is panicking and you show composure, it's for a reason, because you know God's on your side. And 6.6, it says, be ready to stand up for what is right. Because we know who's out in the world, and who we have in us when in baptism. 1 John 4:4 says, the one in you is greater than the one in the world. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7 of Titus. And the NIV version says, show yourself in all respects a model, because we're ambassadors, right? A model of good deeds and in your teaching. Show integrity, gravity, and sound speech. Because we think what we, before we speak, right? That cannot be censored, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say. But talk and act, and again, do not compromise our values. 7. Be meditating. I always use that in my life points. Always thinking of God and have Him in your thoughts. That's what meditating means. In Psalms 1:2 states to have God in your mind and be thinking of Him. Remember, brethren, to do a 360 at the beginning of each day. It will save your life. Fear God and keep His commandments.